Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, August 29th, Labor Day weekend, 2008. My guest is a good friend of mine of many, many years, Sean Ray. He's goes all over the world helping people. I don't know what you call him for that, but he goes up in Afghanistan and does videos and helps feed people. He does music. He does all kinds of stuff. And he's always doing something new, and he's been doing music forever. I've seen him sing alongside some of the most famous names in show business ever. So without further ado, how's it going there? Sean, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Hi, Dr. Fred. How you doing?
Good, man. What you been doing all day?
Listen, thank you so much for having me on your show and have me available to speak to with you and have your listeners listen in.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to get you on my show for about two or three years, you know. Takes a while to get you on. You've been busy, haven't you?
I have been very busy, yes.
Yeah. Now, anyhow, from reading your biography, because I can never keep up with you, you seem to be the most globally oriented person in your thinking. Why? All right. So anyway, why are you such a global thinker?
Well, I believe that every human being on our planet Earth needs to be think of themselves as a global citizen, because you know we're all going to be able to make it together if we think like we are together and that we're in oneness with each other. So I think that, you know, also my background, I come from the Indian subcontinent. I was born and raised till I was 18 years of age in the area that's India, Pakistan, and therefore, you know, I came across a lot of ethnic groups and different languages. I just believe that, you know, and of course I've traveled the world for over three decades, and therefore I find that, you know, people, no matter what their caste or creed is or are, are all governed by the same human feelings, and so I believe I look at the world as a global citizen.
Yeah, you know, I know I've spoken to you. When I originally met you, we were up in Canada, I think in Ontario or somewhere. Where was it?
Yeah.
Ontario.
Yes, we were.
That was many years ago.
Yes, it was.
And I remember, and the neatest thing I remember, though, when you used to call me when you're down there in Florida from your old 57 Chevy. Now, that was pretty cool. I don't know. I know you got yourself a big truck or something now, but I wish you had the old 57, you know?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, would it make a difference if it was riding a camel, Dr. Fred Bell? Wouldn't make a difference, would it?
No. I take it you have ridden a few of those. Are camels pretty comfortable?
You have to sit on them sideways, I guess.
Yeah. So anyhow, tell me, you know, I've seen you with presidents. I know you've worked in the, you know, for the government here in our country. And then what kind of a educational background do you have anyway? Did you go to a music school or what happened?
No, I actually have never studied music at all. However, I do have a degree in public administration with an emphasis in political science and economics, and I have an international law degree. Now, remember, I have met people from all over the world that have had no degrees at all that can, you know, that are way, way, way intelligent. And, of course, the Plato and the Socrates never went to Harvard or any school like that. So, you know, that being said, at least I'm disciplined enough to sit in a chair for over 4 years and study just like you, Dr. Bell.
Yeah, I know you're pretty well educated. So what kind of an ethnic makeup do you have, and what is your religious affiliation?
Well, basically, from my father's side, I'm from a lost Israelite tribe that settled in the Indian subcontinent. And my great-grandmother from my father's side was of Chinese descent. And from my mother's side, my maternal grandfather was Hindu Brahmin. My grandmother was Christian. My great-grandmother was Tibetan. And from my grandfather's, maternal grandfather's side, they came from the lineage of Sikh. So that is all in my DNA, and therefore, because of that, and not being against any one of my relatives in one way or the other, I'm more spiritual. I'm not any one religion. You know, of course, I respect anybody that believes in any religion. That's fine. But myself, I like to keep myself open and you know, believe that there is some sort of a higher power, or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I know your name. Your God-given name when you were born is a bit long. That's why we use John Ray.
Yeah. Shah Shahriyar Khan Rai Zagajadun.
Yeah, and a couple of my friends that I work with here that are from the Middle East tell me that your name suggests you're related to Genghis Khan.
Well, I do come from the Chinese lineage from my parents' side. That is from that kind of background. Yes,
that's pretty amazing. I'm just from a humble Scottish background, old Alexander Graham Bell and Ethan Allen, you know.
yeah, that's relatively inconsequential, right?
Yeah. Now you've been in music a long time.
Yes, I have, since I was a child. Actually, my mother, when she was four, I get my music from my mom, even though my father did play the flute, as a hobby, and he's very musically inclined. My mother used to sing on All India Radio since the age of 14 in different languages. So she used to tell me that she used to sing to me while she was pregnant, and I had me in. And so I guess I must have picked all of that up from that time onwards.
Well, you were singing in this country with some of the big names when you were a kid, right?
Yes. I mean, I was a special guest on in Ray Charles' concert, and I was invited to sing, and also with Frankie Valli. And so I've done quite a few things. As you know, Dr. Fred, I've been involved in different businesses and different things. So music, I have, obviously I have a great passion for music. I love music, except that I have a passion for so many different things, as you can only spend so much time. And the interesting thing is that now I have opened up time for myself, and in 2009 I'm going to be doing a lot of concerts all over the world. So we'll talk about that later in the program when you want to ask me those questions.
Yeah, I know. I've seen on your website. By the way, I think we've been advertising your website, but it's SeanRay.com, right?
Yes, it's SeanRay.com. It's S-H-A-W-N, Ray, R-A-E.com. And people can watch YouTube videos and sound clips and stuff, different things about the documentaries that I'm doing and trailers regarding that, and interviews, international ones that I've given.
Yeah, I even think I didn't see a picture. I think I saw a picture of you with Frank Sinatra, didn't I? I think you showed me one years ago.
Actually, the picture with Frank Sinatra was of my arranger, Charles Colello. Charles Colello is actually incredible, one of the finest arrangers that the United States has ever produced. I mean, he has basically an unbeaten record of over 100 hit singles on the Billboard charts.
Wow.
And over 38 top 10 hits. And this gentleman, who's my arranger and producer of my music, he's worked with people like Frank Sinatra, Barbara Streisand, Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, Kenny Rogers. I mean, who's who this gentleman has worked with. He's a genius. And obviously, I like to work with, the best of the best, because that brings the best out of you, you know. And that's why I stay friends with people like you, Dr. Bell, even though I'm basically a simple man, basic person. I'm always interested in all the kinds of technologies and things that you are involved in. Basically, I'm of the understanding, you know, I look at the world as a forest, you know, with all kinds of different animals. And of course, we're animals ourselves. But the point is that, you know, they're like their lions and cobras and elephants and parrots and, you know, a deer or whatever it is in the jungle. In order to be the king of our own jungle, so to speak, you know, we need to know all kinds of people. And so therefore, my knowing you also brings me into the realm of understanding, you know, the science that you're involved in, and how interesting all that is. So I respect and honor you for that, and that's why I've known you for many, many years. You know, you share a lot of knowledge with me, and that's I find that very exhilarating.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know you've been out here to California a few times. You need to be out here more often. Hopefully you'll be out here singing some. What kind of songs do you like to sing anyway? What's your favorite? I know you like to do, for different audiences, different kinds of energies that they relate to. Cause, you know, tell a story about, you remember you did a concert down there for about 1,000 people, and you described how you were doing special kind of songs with a certain length on the song, and to get a certain reaction. Explain what that was about.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll basically let you know that the Sean Ray show that I do, you see, in order for me to do anything, just like you, Dr. Fred, you know, I mean, I've known you for a few years now, quite a few years now, and what I like about you is that, you know, whatever you do it with passion, you know, and there's a meaning behind what you're trying to do. You know, it's not about you, it's about sharing with people, you know, the things that you know, that you know, the universe has given you. And so therefore, you know, the reason why I have not been really, I mean, of course, I've been singing for many, many years, and I've done quite a few things on television and internationally. However, I couldn't bring myself to just sing. Of course, it's great to sing, and it's great, you know, I mean, of course, I respect all the people that I've been around. However, for myself, you know, I always want things to have some sort of, there always has to be a moral of the story behind any story. So the only way that I could do my shows and start working on them and put them together for a year and a half ago was basically that, you know, there are all kinds of people that motivate people, you know, think and grow rich, or, you know, how to feel good about yourself or anything like that. But I needed to do something, you know, with love and romance, which we have very little of these days. And so I thought, why not, you know, put my show around, call it the Sean Ray Love Show. And basically, instead of my doing the concert as a star, that the stars of the concert would be the audience. You know, and that they would be the star of the show, and that by the songs that I sang, that they would be able to go back to their own love journey, from whether they had their first infatuation at 12 with the librarian or their math teacher or whatever, you know. And after I put that show together and I have performed it for people over the last 1 year, just to see how that works, it's been very, very interesting, and I've had people come up to me and shake my hand and tell them that the even 95-year-old ladies and men have come over to me and said, thank you for taking us back on this love journey. You know, we've become cynical about all of this stuff, and now we feel very, very good about our own story, and thanks for giving us months and months to think about that. So I just felt, Dr. Fred, that by my doing that, I was motivating people back to love, especially when people, sometimes a lot of people are, you know, single or they're married, but they're maybe in loveless marriages or they're widowed or looking for somebody. And I thought that if I do shows that bring people that are in the audience to go back into their own, you know, it's like regression, you know, you know, and go back to feeling good, the good things that they felt, that I bring them back to be more positive about thinking about love.
Yeah, I know.
So it's very exciting. I mean, I hope I'm not rambling on, but
I like rambling. You know, you sing in many different styles. I mean, you do a lot of that heartthrob stuff, you know, and
Yes, I do. And the key is, you know, eclectic style is because I enjoy all kinds of music. I was exposed to, you know, there are many different types of music in the Indian subcontinent. You know what I'm saying to you? So, you know, and done by different ethnic groups, and of course I was able to hear all of that since I was a child. And
you sing in other languages too, right?
Beg your pardon?
You sing in other languages besides English.
Yes, I can sing in other languages, but the language that I sing in is in English. That's the basic language I sing, because you see, singing in different languages require different kind of ways of using your throat and your diaphragm. And the key is that, you know, yes, you can, you know, there's some singers that can sing from English and Spanish and go back and forth. That's great. However, I prefer to sing in English because I find that that's the best, I sound the best when I do that, and I can come across my best, you know, and get my passion for singing across better like that. For me,
that's
how it works for me.
Honorable, because you do speak so many different languages in your native tongue, and it was not even English, and yet you respect this country so much that you do that. And it's frustrating for me when I was living in Germany. I didn't speak German very well. You know, they spoke English, and I spoke English, a little German, and it's embarrassing. You know, when you're in somebody else's land, you should respect their customs and know their language, you know, or at least part of it.
Well, call me is a very thankful immigrant. You see, I have a very different idea about what the United States of America is all about. To me, after having traveled all over the world, I don't look at America as one of over 200 countries. To me, because of the fact that all of humanity is represented in the United States of America, I look at it more as the capital of the world, and that everybody here is like an ambassador from where they came from. I mean, you think about what the Polish problem was, you know, and what was going on about that, and that's because we have Polish people here, or the Kennedys that are Irish in Ireland, and you know, about African things that are happening in Africa, and all the people from African Americans that we have here, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, to me, this is the capital of the world, and America is really a beacon of light and hope for the world, and of course our politics change from year to year, and of course we can have a different take on all of that, but essentially the people of America, because they come from different ethnic groups, and of course things that have been passed down to them, they are great people, and I've traveled all over the United States, and as a matter of fact, in a personal story, my parents never wanted me to come to the United States because I wanted to take up political science. They said, son, you're on your own when you come to the United States. I said, sure, no problem. And I'm trying to make a short story long, so to speak.
Yeah, go ahead, make it long.
But the point is that, if I would have told my parents I needed a lot of money, they wouldn't have let me come. And so when I did come, I told them, oh, no, I've got friends here waiting for me, whatever it is. By the way, first of all, I came to the United States I was invited as an exchange student by the State Department to go to Pontiac, Michigan, your part of the world, to go to school for 6 months there and then be an ambassador of American education to the Middle East and Far East and talk about American education back in the 70s. And so when I wanted to come back, I said, I just wanted to visit my friends and I'll be back, Well, I knew I wasn't going to come back. So anyway, I came to the United States, and if I didn't tell my parents I didn't need more than $20, so I'd be back a week or so later, they wouldn't have let me go.
Yeah.
And so I arrived here with $19.50 in my pocket.
Wow.
And that's another long story. And everything that I've done in the United States, if you go on my website, is with that $19.50. Now, what does that mean? That means that there were many, 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 many people, I mean, basically all the people that I met that were so kind and great that helped me to get to where I am today. With all their help. So, that means that you can go to a country and nowhere in any country is that possible except for the United States. You know what I'm saying? You can be anybody and make it to anything you want to be. And that's so such a great thing about the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate in this last administration that we've had this horrible problem, with the way other people in other countries look at the United States. Hopefully with our new election and our new people in there, we'll turn it around. Now, you're an example, though, of a person that comes from the Pakistani area where supposedly Afghanistanis and Pakis and everybody don't like America. Yet you come over here, renounce everything that you believed in over there, I mean, everything that you had, your wealth and all of that, and you just left, and you came over here, and you made it, as a minority person in a country that supposedly is hostile to, the Middle East, which I don't think the people hate us all that much, but I think it's more a media hype.
I'll say this to you, everywhere that I, whether it's in India or Pakistan or anywhere else, the people of those countries, of course, look at America. They love America, actually. They do. They do. I mean, my goodness, most people do. It's only the people that are, the the born-agains in their own religion. You follow them, saying to you, they're born-agains of every religion, you know, ones that are really, bottom line, are you know, just to the right of everything. In that sense, you know, so to speak, that create all the problems. And that's in every religion and every society that we find people like that. And it's unfortunate, but on the whole, you know, yes, we've had quite a few problems over the last 8 years. However, you know, this is America, and the people can always, you know, vote in the kinds of people that they want, you know. And so, you know, I mean, that's all I can say. I try not to be involved in religion and politics much because, you know, a lot of people ask me about different things, and I try to stay above the fray because bottom line is I find that people, you know, learn from the lessons, you know, of the past and make a better future for themselves. And you know, and so there's always hope for the world because I really have great hopes for America, because America is...
Yeah, I think everything will be fine, but it's just so sad. I mean, but the history is history, and it's always a conquest. And unfortunately, it's been all, you know, the oil situation has been ridiculous. Well, I'll swing back towards the music a little bit more. Do we need to play anything? You want us to play any of your tracks real quick?
Well, I think that in keeping with the kind of global thought processes that I have, you may want to play the song, the 30-second clip from A Distance, which I think is a great song, you know.
Which track is that?
I think that they were labeled...
Yeah, well, there's track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I see. You know, I at the moment I don't know if I would know that offhand.
So I just say try play track 4 and see what happens.
Well, it would be track 1 probably.
Okay.
Yeah, because that would probably be the first track.
Run 30 seconds of track 1 for us, would you? Okay, that was track 1. Now, what's the name of that song, Mambi?
That's called From a Distance.
Oh, that's a
And that was actually a song that was first made famous by Bette Midler.
Oh.
And, of course, Charles Colello did all the orchestration for that song, and we had a very big orchestra doing the background music of that. And
yeah, everybody out there needs to realize that not only did you make it in this country, accumulate all these degrees, but you also pay for some of the best orchestras in the world to back you up, which is incredible.
Yeah, yeah, and thanks to all of my friends and the people that have helped me to be able to make all that happen possible. You know, as we were talking about, you know, the United States and how I came here and how this is the capital of the world, when your engineer decides he can play song number 4, which is actually my version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Wow,
and what it means to me, and I arranged it myself. Actually, Charles didn't do that. I did that because obviously I wanted it to be something that came from my heart for this country, and Charles loved it too. He was very excited about that. So whenever you get
Seth,
a chance,
Seth, can you play track 4?
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream that one day.
Engineer really liked that song.
Yes, because you know it says a lot about the United States, and I thought that I wanted to put those voices in because you know that would remind us as to who we are, what we are, and where we're going. And actually, that song's been played on television and it's been on radio stations before. I recorded that about almost 10 years ago. So, of course, I sing it too afterwards, but just wanted to play the clip that really starts the song off.
So what's the most common thing that you hear when you're singing? What's the most common remark that you hear about singing? Because I know you sing in front of thousands pretty often.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there is another song that I sing, and it's called The Greatest Love of All, and actually it starts off as I Believe the Children Are Our Future. It was done by Whitney Houston prior to this. And when I... I did this song with the full orchestration. People called me up and said, "Listen, we never knew that this song was about a person, about the child and the person themselves. You know, how to be able to pick themselves up and by the strength of love for themselves." And I said, "They said, well, because whenever you sing in such a way." You know, that you phrase in such a way where people, you sing a song like a story, except that it's, you know, of course, singing.
Right.
And they said we understand your song a lot more when you sing, because some of the songs that you've covered, we never knew that they meant what they meant, but you gave it a deeper meaning. Of course, I'm not comparing myself with Whitney Houston. She's absolutely incredible. You know, I'm just glad that I was able to do a good job, that people had said that to me. And whenever your engineer wants to ever play that, maybe not now, whatever, it's up to you. There's a 30-second clip for that, too, as in song number 3.
Okay. Let's do number 3, Seth. I like all your songs, you know.
Yeah, you know, that song, The Greatest Love of All, the reason why I sang that was simply because, you know, I felt that, you know, a lot of people, what we have a problem with is that people, a lot of people beat themselves up, you know, a lot, you know, and
yeah,
first of all,
overachievers.
Huh?
Overachievers.
Well, I mean, yes. Also, the point I'm trying to make, really, Dr. Fred, is that, you know, if we start with understanding that we're all God's children, no matter who we are, and that what we're supposed to do as we live life is to look at our own personal paradigm and figure out what our particular niche is.
Right,
you know,
and that's just about every kid coming out of high school today, almost in this country.
Beg your pardon?
I said that genre fits every child graduating from high school today, almost in the United States. They just all come out lost.
Yes, and that's why, you know, some of the you know, people that are you know, older, middle aged or older, need to be mentors to young children and to the youth. And to talk to them and of course, lead their own lives fulfilled, you know. And it's not just with children. It's with a lot of people I meet, you know, they could be 70 years old, and
yeah.
They still don't know why they're here, what they're doing. And I just always pray for people in the sense that people should have a sense of purpose and that they should, you know, basically believe themselves. I mean, in a lot of ways, I find that, you know, if people were to, you know, cherish the companionship that they find within themselves, you know, first, then they can be better friends and better spouses and to other people, you know. And
yeah,
so,
they need to like themselves, love themselves. Most people today, they live beyond their means and they don't like themselves. They just cover up this dislike for themselves, I feel anyway, and live beyond their means. And they end up, that's why we have so many foreclosures going on. People just couldn't afford to be where they were because they weren't being themselves. They were trying to be somebody else. You know, have a nice car like the guy down the street does, or a fancy house that they can't afford. When they could afford all that, if they follow their passion, like you did, like I did, you know.
Well, the key is, you know, Dr. Fred, I've also come to the conclusion that, you know, there are many types of intelligence. You know, there's the IQ, that's the intelligence quotient, and then there's the EQ, which is the emotional quotient. I know you know all of this stuff. And then, you know, there's the SQ, which is the spiritual quotient. And so, you know, just because somebody is intelligent or they may have gone to school or done all kinds of things doesn't mean that they have the emotional quotient of knowing what their place is within, you know, the rest of the world which they interact with. And so they can make many errors in their lives. And it's sad. I just sometimes feel that I feel more sad for people when they have a problem or they're not able to make things happen than to be, you know, thinking that they should have done anything different. It's just that obviously if they knew what they were doing or they had the right things to think about or had all the set of knowledge that they needed to be able to make proper decisions, that they would have done that. Unfortunately, they weren't able to make it. And of course, one also has to take a look at all the different types, the lending institutions that also got them into those kinds of messes too. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a very, very good cycle, unfortunately.
No. So I'll change the subject just a little bit.
Sure, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. I know, and this is one of the things that I've seen you do. I don't know how you got into it, but you got into the aroma business.
Yes, I got into
how did you do that on top of singing?
Beg your pardon?
How did I do that?
Well, you know, my mom, when I was growing up, basically almost had an apothecary at home in the sense that she collected all kinds of fragrances, you know, from all over the world. And you know, she's a spray mix and match. And so I learned about that since I was very young. And I used, mixed a few of them myself, you know, different bottle scents and used those. And I found that there was one that I got to put together way back in the 70s that really, every time I put it on, people always, you know, remarked that, wow, that was a really great scent. And so through the years, I used the same thing. And basically about 14 years ago, by the way, I have worked with Revlon. I've been the international consultant for Revlon since the 80s and helped bring Revlon into the Far East. And,
now, that's
and so
pretty cool.
I know a lot about fragrances and where you get them from and what happens. And then, of course, it led me to, you know, make sure that I have, you know, because I have a love of fragrances because I got that through my mother, who was not with us any longer. But anyway, I had quite a few chemists put together and then we tried to redo the same scent that I found that worked well for me. And we put over 300 ingredients in it, and actually people that wear my the Oneness fragrance, what it's called, Oneness, is they always tell me that, you know, they put that on and they get more compliments out of that than any other fragrance that they wear. And the reason behind that is that I spent a lot of money when I was doing the testing with it and with blind testing and wanted to make sure that it came to such a point where when it was compared to the best fragrance, the top 10 fragrances in the marketplace, that in the end, people would pick that more often than the other ones, you know, and it took a long time to do that, but I did do it, and it works wonderfully, and both women and men like it equally.
Yeah, I need to get some of that from you. You need to send me out a bottle.
I will absolutely do that, Dr. Bell.
From your website? Can they order it? How do they get that?
Yes, they can order it from my website, absolutely. I mean, I can basically tell you that I've sold it to thousands of people, and they always come back with, you know, and I have people from you know, counts and countesses to, you know, people that are in the religious clergy that buy that.
Yeah.
And so the perfume is supposed to be very expensive. I just made it sure that it's such a price that everybody can afford it, but it's a lot more expensive than that. But I've made it such that since I sell it directly, that you know, that everybody can afford it. And so it, I've had great luck with it, and of course it's been great because the thought behind the oneness part, you know, it's what you think is what's made it, and of course the ingredients are wonderful in it. And you know, Dr. Bell, it's very simple. You know, you can find roses in every country in the world. You can grow them, but the best rose is actually considered to be the Bulgarian rose. And when you pick it in the morning or the day is how what the scent is going to be. And so I made sure that when all the ingredients were put together, that only the finest were put in it. So that's why, you know, you get what you put into something. That's why it's actually the scent is absolutely great.
Yeah, just, you know, I've never done perfume, but I'm real fussy on perfumes. I mean, I like, you know, aftershave lotions, and there's a few that I've liked over the years. And there's some that I just can't stand at all. And I like kind of a lighter smell, you know, fragrance. And I know that making these formulas is about as difficult as coming up for a cure for cancer in some form of a pill. I mean, it's not just an easy thing. You throw a bunch of chemicals together or herbs or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And then I know that you take the money from the perfume and all the other stuff and you make documentaries. You give it right back to the people,
right? The key is to, you know, to do whatever you can in the expectation that you're going to be able to give back and help people and do different things. So that's the important part. You know, there's always a reason why you do things, you know. And I just feel that, you know, I always meditate on the fact that whatever I try to do, that I do it for all the right reasons, you know. And sometimes you're not always successful. You're not always right on with everything, all of 100% of the time. But then when you fall down sometimes, you learn from those when that happens, and then you know, dust yourself off and keep on going.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I've seen you on documentaries. I've seen you in some very interesting ones. And then I see a list here that I have of six of them that you did. And can you tell us about...
Well, these documentaries are going to be done over a three-year period. I've been working on them already.
Okay, these are the brand new ones.
Yes, I've been working on these, and they're going to be six documentaries about an hour long, and they're different episodes, you know, for each hour documentary, and the documentaries are called Passport East-West, A Journey to Understanding, and basically the focus in the documentaries are on highlighting and accentuating the overall positive commonalities that exist among and between the many diverse cultures and nations of the world. You know, right now, every time people write about something or the other, there's always they're highlighting the differences, you know. And basically, the programming intent of these documentaries is going to be to explore the views and goals from the vantage point of a multitude of people, including world leaders, royalty, clergy, the working class, and humanity in general. You know, because this
What about the documentaries I've seen you on already that you've been on? Did you make those or somebody else make those or what?
I'm always working on a whole bunch of things, Dr. Bell.
I know.
But these are what are near and dear to my heart. And basically the bottom line with all of this is to in an attempt to understand the individual and collective thought processes of everybody, you know, and that's why each one of these documentaries is labeled, you know what I'm saying to you? One is Common Ground, you know, Humanity's Common Links, that's the first one. And the second one is about heritage, your roots, legacy, birthright, and tradition. You know what I'm saying? The third one is about economics, you know, about global interdependence. And then the fourth one is about the world divided, you know, with wars and different things happening and how we can cross the distance. And then the fifth one is about spirituality, looking at the secular and the sacred. And the last one is called Our Single Home, One Earth Under the Same Sky, you know. So it's very, very interesting. It's a lot of work. But it's a wonderful thing to be involved in. And that's what keeps me happy. And of course, with the new, you know, also with my concert schedule, you know, that's kind of coming up in 2009.
Yeah, are you going to have a schedule on your appearances? I'm still wanting to get you over here to the Cerritos Center, which won't be a problem, I don't think. The season just started out here in California again.
That's wonderful.
I was telling you about the seats, about 1,200, 1,500, and it's got the, like, operatic, you know, pillars going up and all of that. It'd be a great place for you to perform.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, you did tell me about that. Also, you know, you'd be surprised. I'll tell you a little story here. You know, since I landed in the United States in the 70s, you know, no matter what my name was, people used to come out and say, hey, they used to call me Tony. You want me to tell you a story about that? It's really kind of funny. And I found out that people thought I looked like Tony Orlando.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of you and him together.
Actually what happened is about 6-7 years ago, Tony's brother came up to me and said that that Tony wanted to meet with me. And so I went to his concert, and I met him in his dressing room, and he proclaimed to all the press and the newspapers that, you know, that I was his brother and I'm from now on, and that he wanted me to read about his story about his life and act in his movie when they make a film for television or anything else. Besides that, and so that was very, very kind of him, and basically ended up being a very, very nice guy. And what has happened is that every time I do a concert, the first 5 minutes, people are always looking at each other and telling each other about, you know, and I heard the word Tony, even though I'm on stage. And so what ended up happening is that I, last year, after 7 years after knowing him, I decided to, basically to include a couple of his songs, as a medley. And every time I did that, they wanted more songs in the medley, and I guess apparently the people like him very, very much. So a lot of people told me that, listen, they like this guy. He's an icon of the 70s, and he's a very nice guy. How about doing a 1 hour tribute to him too? And so basically, I'm putting together a tribute. It's called the Tony Orlando and 70s Tribute Show. And basically, he's talking about the 70s and what really happened in music, and, you know, a little about the fads and things like that, and sing 10 of his songs, and actually another 30 songs of that period in medleys. So it's going to end up being about 43 songs. It's going to be very interesting, because a lot of people, even the ships, have contacted me and said, listen, they're looking for tribute shows. But you see, I like to be who I am, which is great. People like to impersonate, but I'd rather do tributes, you know, to people. And especially since he came up to me and said that I was his brother, and so everywhere I go, people think I look like him. So I thought, okay, well, it makes sense if I do that. And, of course, talk about the 70s and how the 70s have affected, you know, what we're doing now, and make it very interesting, and entertaining. And so, therefore, you know, we always hear about the 50s and 60s, and there's really nobody doing the 70s. So I thought, okay, I'd be able to, you know, kill one stone with two birds. That's a joke again. So I find that interesting, you know. And so I just like to keep myself interested in doing different things. And I also play the guitar.
I was going to ask you, what instruments do you play?
Going back to the Tony Orlando show, you know, Tony Orlando, his first hit was in 1961, and Carole King wrote that for him. It was called Halfway to Paradise.
That was a big song. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was. And then in 1961, he did another song called Bless You, also, which was a number one hit for him. And actually, what Tony used to do, he was only like 15, 16 at the time, he used to play guitar and pitch songs, you know, for different recording companies. And so he does know how to play the guitar. And so when I'm doing his show, also, I'm going to be, since the 70s was very big in with Santana, so I'll be doing like a 6-song medley of Santana songs. I'll be singing and playing guitar at the same time.
Wow.
So, you know, so it'll be very, very interesting, you know.
I find it exciting. Player, let me know. I'll come and play with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, it's an open invitation to you, Dr. Fred. You play beautifully well, and I've heard you, so I'd love to be able to have you play along. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, you know.
Two of us on the same stage, huh?
I just learned how to play the flute after practicing for 3 years. The first year of playing the flute, I couldn't get a sound out of it, so it took a year to get something to come out. the second year, figured out, you know, keep the sound consistent, and the third year to make it go along with music. It took 3 years.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I just bought a contra alto clarinet and a bass clarinet. The bass clarinet is 6 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness, yes,
of course.
We got
clarinet covered here.
Wow.
I know how to play those now, you know. I love instruments, you know, I love music. It keeps me, the only reason I'm not strung out on drugs and in a nut house is because of music, you know. It's kept me sober.
No, I absolutely understand exactly, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Music,
is there any song on there on those tracks that are Tony Orlando songs?
I don't have any Tony Orlando songs on those tracks, but I do have in the MP3 clip some other songs that I put it in. One's an original song. It's a romantic song. I don't know if your listeners want to hear that.
Yeah, what number would that one be on there?
That would be number 6.
Yeah, number 6. Seth, could you play number 6? This is the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show continuing along, and our guest is Sean Ray. Sean, what citizenship do you hold anyway?
I consider myself a global citizen to start with, but to be more exact, I'm an American citizen now.
That's pretty
amazing.
That's really honorable. I know you have held some positions for our government over the years, haven't you?
Well, no, I have not, in the sense that I've had a lot of people ask me different things because I was born and raised in the Far East, and of course I studied there and went to school, and of course my grasp of the English language is pretty good, I would say at least fourth grade, you know, because I have acclimated myself well to the West, the people find it interesting to talk to me and ask me about how the Eastern mind thinks and what the thought process is, and so they feel that I'm able to explain that very, very well. You see what I'm saying? Because of course I've gone back to the East, over 30 times, you know, back
yeah.
and forth. And so I have friends there, family there, and so I travel all the time. So I'm the kind of guy that basically, is a pretty good bridge between the East and West. And so people always like to throw things at me and say, well, what do you think of this and what do you think of that? So,
yeah, well, speaking of that, where do you think the world is heading at this point in time?
Well, Dr. Bell, I'm sure you'd know more about that than I do. All I can say is that we're finding that the world with global warming is something that doesn't just affect one country, but affects the whole world. And I think finally the world citizenry has understood the fact that what happens to one of us happens to all of us, and we really need to work together to, resolve the problems of the world, you know, and being divided is not going to help us to look at and to take care of all those monumental challenges that exist.
Yeah, do you think we'll ever get ahead of the terrorist problem that we're having now?
With what?
With terrorism.
The problem is, unfortunately, when I was going to my political science classes way back when, over 25 years ago, one of my professors, James Pietti, had written an article, published article called Pragmatism in an Asymmetrical World. And he used to lecture us in class, and he used to say that, unfortunately, every 4 years or 8 years, a new party comes in, whether Democrats or Republicans.
Right.
And all the multinationals that are involved with those affect our foreign policy, and he thought that it would be much better for America to have a foreign policy that was in the long run and not based on which party and which multinationals that were part of that party, would be influencing our foreign policy, and that was not good for the world. So that was over 25 years ago. And
that's a good thought. And I know in the Far East people have a longer attention span because they've had to, because it's not exactly paradise over there. It's pretty warm in the summer. There's not what you call a surplus of water or food.
Yes.
And so people have a different set of problems to work with. But it does give them, I think, a pretty good attention span. Whereas over here, I think people get pretty soft. The kids are spoiled now when they don't. I think every kid should be in the military like I was for discipline purpose. And so it's kind of hard. What do you think about Obama if he wins? We kind of know where McCain's at, but if Senator Obama wins the election, do you think that'll help our foreign policy a little bit with the eastern countries?
Well, I find that, John McCain is a very honorable guy, and sometimes, unfortunately, in politics, people say and do things that what they really don't mean. Unfortunately, that's what politics is all about.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, too. I mean, he's been known as a maverick, and he's believed in certain things, and, of course, politically speaking now, people say, well, yeah, he's flip-flopped and done all the things, but unfortunately, in politics that we have today, some of our politicians have to flip-flop in order to get elected, unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I guess regarding Obama, the only thing is that the world is going to be looking at somebody that had a Kenyan father who suddenly becomes the president of the United States is something that only the capital of the world could do. It says a lot about, first of all, the fact that he's the nominee of a major party presidential candidate says a lot about America, and it says a lot about Americans, and
I think ethnicity is getting pushed by the wayside, and then McCain just chose a woman to run as his vice president this morning, so at least we're getting past some barriers here in our own.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, that's great. I mean, it's of course up to the American public to decide who they want to be the next president. But it's a good thing. I mean, it's all around. I like both the candidates for different reasons. You asked me a question about how people in the world would be thinking, and I believe that's what Obama brings. But if people in the United States decide they want to have McCain, then that's we get who we want. That's what democracy is all about. So
now when I know you still have good strong family ties. What does your immediate family think of our American politics these days? Are they interested at all? They ignore it, or are they actually?
Everybody follows politics all over the world. Just remember, the United States is the most powerful country in the world, no matter what anybody says. I mean, it just is. And the key is that what we need to do is to make sure that whatever we do as the beacon of light for the world, that all of our policies should be adjusted in such a way where we have not only authority because of power, but have moral authority also in all the things that we do.
Yeah.
And that'll go a long way. Because now that with India and China and Russia and all these different countries, becoming very powerful, that's much more important for America now to be looked at as the moral authority, and so those guys can take a look up to us and follow our lead. Very, very important.
Yeah, I agree. It's really an honor to have had you on the show. We're out of time.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was my honor, and I'd like to thank your listeners.
I'd like to know if you'll come back at some point.
Oh, thank you so much. They can always go to seanray.com and see, more in detail what's going on. But thank you so much, Dr. Craig.
You were a great guest. And, coming from a country where Americans feel there's a source of conflict and explaining to people it's more in the hands of the politicians. It's not coming from the country, these countries itself, because I know you represent many different ones, and And that's good to hear you on here with your beautiful views, and I wish you continual success.
Thank you so much. Please thank your radio station and Don Newsom and Seth for being so great. You guys are just wonderful.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I've done a lot of radio interviews, and you guys handled it very professionally. You guys are professional people. I mean, you guys are great. Absolutely.
Well, we are
great.
Today. I don't know about the next show, but
great.
This one seems
thank
to go pretty
so
good.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. We're off the air. We're going off the air in a couple of minutes. You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And our guest today has been Sean Ray. And, boy, that was a lot of fun having him on. Yeah, there we go. We're out of here. We'll talk to everybody next week. Until then, you've been listening to the best, biggest show on the Internet and a lot above the ground station. See you next time.